Proudly presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, it's the Ira Kaufman Podcast. Thank you so much for all the listeners, the thousands of listeners. We appreciate the growth of the podcast. Those of you who tune in on Podbean, Google Play, iTunes, wherever you are, and on JoeBucksFan.com, the podcast posts first every Tuesday and Thursday. We appreciate it. Want to save money on a Cadillac? Make sure it's backed by Morse. At Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, right now, not only can you lease a 2018 ATS Coupe for just $349 a month, zero down, if you find a lower price on a new Cadillac, they will match it or refund you $500. That's the Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa Price Protection Promise. Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher, or visit edmorsecadillactampa.com. You can get all the details there, and you can also visit edmorse.com/promise. for complete details on the Price Protection Promise. And at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, just west of Causeway Boulevard, right there, it's clearance time. Save up to $13,000 on remaining 2017 Cadillacs, and for a limited time only, get 0% for 72 months on the powerful Cadillac Escalade. Plus, you get free car washes for life. At Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon on Causeway Boulevard, visit edmorsecadillacbrandon.com for all the details. Great pre-owned selection, edmorsecadillacbrandon.com. We appreciate their support, and here's Ira. Happy Tuesday. It is the Ira Kaufman Podcast. A week now into free agency, Mr. Kaufman. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKepper is here. Of course, we heard all those great offers from Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, our proud presenting sponsors of all things Ira all the time. Ira, I have one big magic question for you to start this podcast.
Only one.
It's one big one, one big magic question. But first, let me just say, how are you? You look good, dapper. You're wearing your Ed Morse blues, your khaki pants. You're ready for television.
I am. I'm ready for Cummings. We're going to talk about NCAA. I got all the topics already, Lee. NCAA tournament, Tiger Woods. We're lucky if we talk about the Bucks for 1 minute or so. That shows you how much they've cracked the landscape over here. The Lightning are ahead of them. How about some questions about the Bucks on this TV show I'm heading up tonight?
And NFL market, they think they're going to get more eyeballs by talking Tiger Woods.
I don't get what's going on. The Bucks have made some news, Lee. And I dare say, the last couple of days, they've shored up what was looking like a weak start. They've made some positive moves.
I got better news. And it's about you, Mr. Kaufman.
You got better news?
Yeah, last night I was bored. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning. I checked Google Play. You're number 14 overall, at least at 2 o'clock this morning, with all the news that's going on. I'm not talking about sports. I'm talking about news.
People getting fired left and right at the White House.
Yeah, Trump threatening FBI people, which I find hilarious as can be. But then again, he amuses me. I know other people goes nuts. You finally overcame George Stephanopoulos.
You hear that, little Georgie? I'm past you, baby. You're in my rearview mirror, and you ain't getting ahead of
you
me.
You were the number 4 overall sports podcast on Google Play. You were the number 2 football podcast on Google Play. Like I said, number 14 overall. And Mr. Stephanopoulos, despite all the news, and you haven't had a podcast since Thursday, he's eating your cinders.
Isbitz, we got to be doing something right here. We got to be doing something right, so let's keep doing it.
Of course, Lee's talking about podcast rankings on Google Play. Don't get too full of yourself, Ira, but congratulations as always.
Some of our skeptics think that we're looking at the wrong, you know, breakdowns over there.
Nobody cares. Nobody thinks that. It's all there. They can all look it up. And Ira, also, of course, your television show Spectrum 360 on Bay News 9. Monday night, when else are you on this week?
I believe it'll be on Wednesday, too. Monday and Wednesday. By the time this podcast airs, Jason Light will still be in Seventh Heaven with Bradley Chubb going to his pro day, Steve. All he's thinking about is Bradley Chubb. Chubb, Chubb, Chubb. You know what? That's all Buck fans are thinking about, too. Because when the smoke's cleared from free agency, they still need a damn furious guy coming off that edge. And I'm not sure they have him in tow right now.
Magic question, Ira. Magic question, as I promised you. And the Bucks fans have a lot to think about, more than just Chubb. But it's not just all Chubb time. Question. The Buccaneers essentially traded Chris Baker, Clinton McDonald, and Robert Ayers for Vinny Curry, Mitch Unrein, and Bo Allen. Grade the trade. What do you think? That's the trade on this defensive line, which arguably was the worst in the NFL.
Lee, on paper, I think it'll have a negligible effect on the pass rush. Negligible. It seems like they got a little more stout against the run, which is not Clinton McDonald's forte. Allen's a wide body, which they didn't have. Unrein gives them a little depth. Also, not bad against the run. And Curry, to me, Curry And a healthy Ayers is a wash on the pass rush. And maybe even a step down. Maybe. I think they got a little better against the run. I think they got a little more physical. They got rid of Baker, which is a plus in and of itself. Lee, you know that better than anybody.
Yeah, addition by subtraction, yeah.
You know, you give them a B-minus or a C on that. Now, the move to sign Jensen, which we'll talk about, that's a clear upgrade without question.
One step at a time.
One step at a time. As far as the D-line and the pass rush, they're still looking for that double-digit sacker. I don't see him on the roster, Lee.
Of course not, no. The interesting thing is, the only reason why the Bucs were able to get Vinnie Curry is he was made expendable because the Eagles went out and traded for Michael Bennett. Hello? Good grief.
And they got more depth on the D-line than any team in the league.
Okay, the Bucs upgraded their interior rush defense, no question. You got no pass rush. You've got Ryan Smith. You're facing Newton, Breeze, and Ryan twice a year. Yeah, let's throw the ball some more, people.
Steve, what's wrong
this is ridiculous.
What's wrong with signing Clinton McDonald right now as the fourth guy to finish it off? What's wrong with that?
Hey, Ira, look, I sat here on the podcast 3 weeks ago and said I'd get rid of Clinton McDonald. So you're asking the wrong guy. Old. The Bucs needed to get younger.
So they got younger.
McDonald's banged up every year. Missed a lot of games over the last 3 years. He got 5 sacks. I don't see anybody else signing him. Chris Baker has a freaking job. Clinton McDonald's got no job.
What's that tell you?
So it says something.
I love Clinton McDonald, but wow, you know, Baker gets a job before he
talk
does.
Talk to me by the end of the week. He'll be signed and sealed, my man.
You know what?
Signed and sealed.
What this remind me of? The Bucs, you know, beefing up their run defense, and once again, totally ignoring edge rush. Apparently, hell bent on having Ryan Smith as your starting cornerback. It reminded me of like some F Troop episode where the Hakawis are sitting around trying to figure out how to make things worse, so they can start up another business and get a cut of the pie. It makes no sense.
You know, here's another point, Steve. Out of the 3 defensive linemen they've signed, at best, one of them is going to be on the field on the money down. 2 of them will be sitting on the bench. You're not going to see Bo Allen on 3rd and 8. You're not going to see Unrein. You're probably going to see Curry. It's not guaranteed, depending on who they draft, if they could get a Chubb. And if Noah Spence comes back, you know, these are some big ifs. You don't even know if Curry's going to be on the field on 3rd down. So we'll see.
I'm sure they're going to draft defensive end later in the draft. And hopefully this guy, whoever he is, if it's a 3rd rounder, whatever, is something, is worth some playing time. I mean, Yannick Ngakoue, is, I believe it's how you pronounce it anyway.
Better than me, man.
And Spence is supposed to be a 3rd down guy.
He was a 3rd down star and defensive end the 3rd round a couple of years ago for Jacksonville. But I understand the pass rush. Do I think it was upgraded? No. I'm not as far at the end of the spectrum as Lee is, but pretty close. I mean, it's really no upgrade here. Essentially, the Bucs lost 5 sacks in McDonald. I'm not sure where those are going to come from. They lost a couple from Ayers. Will Clark's back. I mean, I'm a little confused on the pass rush improvement, but they should be much better against the run, which was a big problem last year, and so that's good. But you gave it a B-minus, C-plus, the changes.
On the D-line
specifically. I'm going to give it a C-plus as well. And I said here before, if the Bucs can go from 32nd in defense, this helps them get to 19th. I'll take it, and they'll be a better team.
Lee, is there anything to be said in terms of an intangible with adding 2 guys off a Super Bowl champion, which this roster is not teaming with guys that have a lot of experience off winning teams? Is there an intangible there? Is there
sure
a benefit?
It sure didn't seem like there was any benefit with Clinton McDonald. I love Clinton McDonald. Don't get me wrong. He had a
McDonald
ring.
McDonald was not a bad free agent signing by Jason Light.
No, but if you're talking about, you know, just having a ring, does the glow of that ring in blind people, blind your teammates? Apparently it didn't with McDonald, so I don't know why it would with the guys from the Eagles. You know, the guys that the Bucs added on the defensive line, like I said, I'm going to keep harping on the freaking pass rush until they fix the freaking pass rush. And if people at One Buck don't like it, and apparently they don't, well, you have it in your power to fix it. I don't. I'm not the freaking GM. I'm not the freaking owner. I'm not the freaking coach. So fix it, people, if you don't like the hollering. But here we go. If you combine all the sacks these guys had last year, I drank more beers yesterday watching college basketball.
We don't even want to think of it in those terms.
Well, that's only like three beers, I think.
Because the camper then went into his truck and hit the highway, and I'm a little concerned about what happened.
No. I was at home. No.
Well, you know, teams have to balance realism and optimism, right? Because they're always hopeful.
Light says you can't do everything at once.
How many years is he going to say that?
Oh, come on.
I said last week, Robert Quinn, I think, is going to be looked back as the guy that got away. And I'm going to stick with that.
What was Howie Roseman's excuse?
On Bennett?
Look all the moves he made a year ago. Now, I'm not saying you make moves and all of a sudden, kapow, you're going to have a Super Bowl title. But Howie Roseman didn't sit around like, well, he can't do everything at once.
Well, he hit on Carson Wentz, and you start right.
He hit on a lot of guys.
He hit on Carson Wentz.
Well, let me hammer it over to Lee here. So, Lee, do you think they're better on the defensive line with the three subtractions versus the three additions?
You're going to say marginally better, right?
I'm going to like, to me, C means status quo. I'm leaning towards Steve as a C+. They might have gotten better, but not a whole lot. And once again, it's the pass. We're in a passing league, people. We're in a passing league. You know, what are these vaunted running backs? Yeah, Freeman and Kamara, okay. But did the Bucs lose because of Kamara? Did the Bucs lose because of Freeman? No, they lost because of those quarterbacks. Got carved up.
Steve, I think a fair way is to say they haven't done anything to date up front that would diminish sort of the desperation to get Bradley Chubb. They need Bradley Chubb.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned the word desperation, Ira, because I look at what Vinny Curry, the amount of money they're paying him. Now, I believe, I don't have it in front of me, but I believe they're promising him more money than Michael Bennett was going to earn.
And the Eagles weren't going to give it to him.
And Curry's going to get $8 million a year. That's a lot of money for Vinny Curry at 30 years old. I mean, I get that they got a good year out of Robert Ayers at 31 years old for the same money, and Curry's a little more durable, a little bit younger. It's a lot of money for not going after the big fish that were out there. I mean, shoot, you could have paid, as you said, Mr. Quinn or Bennett, but we have to see. I just don't know where the sacks are going to come from. I'm assuming they're going to believe that, one, we won't be brutal blitzers like we were last year, and two, the Brenton Buckner magic pixie fairy dust is going to make some of these guys a lot better.
I think that championship allure, Lee, depending on how you rate it and rank it and what kind of importance you give it, I think that helped Vinny Curry land in Tampa. The Eagles went 7-9 last year, and I think it certainly helped shape how Buck fans are looking at Vinny Curry. If he came off a nondescript Eagles team, Steve, dare say people would be saying, who's Vinny Curry?
Sure.
Comes off a champion, it looks a little bit different.
I got to be fair. I talked to someone up in Philadelphia.
Yes, that, you did.
That I trust. And he's in the Eagles locker room. He analyzes the Eagles. He sees every game. He told me, you know, Curry does get pressure. And Steve's great point is, what's pressure? It's a subjective stat. What's pressure? But this guy told me that he will get pressure. And what he's very good at doing is collapsing the pocket, meaning making the quarterback step up into the pocket. Well, who should that help?
And what did Buckner say a couple of weeks ago, Steve, when I asked him directly, are sacks overrated, Lee? Is there more to it? And he said, absolutely.
Well,
your guy off the spot.
Well, what else is he going to say when he takes over a defensive line that's worse than the NFL? Of course, he's not going to say, yeah, we need sacks. There's sort of,
well,
you know, a PR stance there.
Well, he also came
there.
Off a team in Arizona that was putting up a lot of sacks. But he was very quick to say there's a lot more to it than sacks.
The point I'm getting at is, if he moves the quarterback off the spot, which I'm told he does, specifically he makes the quarterback step up in the pocket, who's the defensive tackle that allegedly gets pressure with the Bucs? What's his name?
I believe it's 93.
Yeah. Yeah. So if that's the case, that should help out McCoy, if that is the case.
Maybe he helps make the quarterback throw the ball a little bit before he wants to. He can't go through the third read. He's got to get rid of it a little quicker. That helps the secondary.
I'll just say this. We're dancing around the pole here. I'll just say this. I'm going to quote Dirk Cutter. A sack is a drive killer.
It is. A sack is a drive. Or it's supposed to be. There's no doubt about that. No doubt about that.
I thought I was reading. I have to go watch a couple of games to be sure. But I thought I was reading Curry mostly rushes inside. That he moves inside.
He did. With Philadelphia. You're correct.
Right. So I'm not
sure.
You
know what? In that way, he could be on the field on third down as an inside rusher.
Right. If he's on, here's back to the circus factor, Ira. You know, insert the circus music. If he's inside rushing the passer, and that means Bo Allen is off the field.
Yeah.
Mitch Unrein is primarily an inside rusher as well.
He's off the field.
Yeah. So you got Curry in there pass rushing, and Is he going to get five sacks that McDonald had? Probably not. Okay. Now, he may be a more consistent pass rusher, which is very important. Pressures, it all goes together. But
less likely to be injured.
I'm not knocking Verdi Curry. We need such a big upgrade. You know, Dirk Koetter was telling Lee at the combine, 22 sacks. That's can't have that.
Can't have it.
Well, how many more is he going to bring at the position? So it's probably a big zero. So then you need to make that up off the end.
There's got to be more. And then we're banking
on Noah Spence again or some rookies to make it up.
It's to the point where the Bucs clearly don't freaking value defensive or an edge rush. They don't. This would have been corrected so long ago.
Lee, that's a strong statement, Lee.
I can only go by evidence. When you pass on Robert Quinn, allegedly because of a six, I mean, if you buy in that the Rams were okay with trading a guy within the conference, and you offered a fourth-round pick and somehow couldn't get the deal done, and I can't remember who got him, Philadelphia, Atlanta, somebody got Quinn.
Miami,
because of a sixth.
Philly got Bennett.
A worthless sixth-round pick. And then Bennett, of course.
I'm not buying this. We're not trading Quinn within the NFC. Well, what is this, Brett Favre?
You know, this
that was a factor in the Brett Favre thing in 2008.
This guy's
not Brett Favre.
They were motivated to get an edge rusher, they would have done it. They haven't. They passed for whatever reason, and I can only assume, based on evidence, they do not value an edge rusher.
Steve, how can they not value when the first thing that Dirk Koetter said the day after the season is, priority one is we couldn't rush the passer with a four-man pass rush?
Well,
the first thing he said.
I think I said this a long time ago, but it's really just simple math, Ira. This is not a team that's out there collecting pass rushers. It's not.
The Eagles do.
If they were in that mode, I'm going to say this once, and it's just fact. It's not a question of, well. If they were in that mindset, if they were in that value mode in edge rush, we wouldn't have O.J. Howard on this football team. That's just the reality. So they're not a team that's collected edge rushers. They gambled on some guys. Didn't work out. Sure, they bought Ayers. They had tried to get Charles Johnson that year. They ended up with Ayers. They passed on
kicker.
Campbell. Passed on Campbell because they didn't want to spend the money. And kicker, they valued the kicker over getting edge rushers that were in that draft. So it's just a reality.
Well, now the grim reality is they got to get a lot better at that spot. It's killing them, as echoed by Dirk Koetter.
You know, this reminds me, obviously I'm a fan of the baseball St. Louis Cardinals. Some of the things they do just drive me nuts. But when they're pressed, the powers that be with the club, they'll say, well, our research, our analytics, blah, blah, tell us X, Y, and Z, and that's why they made those moves. The only thing I can think of, Light or someone in Light has a bunch of analytics guys working for them, they must have some kind of information. Like, you know what, edge rush, it's important. It's not that important. That's the only thing I can surmise. That's the only thing that makes sense.
Steve, I also noticed that, correct me if I'm wrong, but Unrein and Bo Allen were very highly ranked by Pro Football Focus.
Oh, boy.
Am I wrong in that assessment?
Ira, you're a Hall of Fame voter. You're better than that.
No, I'm just saying. is that a coincidence?
As run defenders. Yes, as run defenders. But, frankly, the Pro Football Focus crowd, defensive tackle, run defense, and interior run defense, and just run defense in general, that's got to be the hardest possible thing for them to grade. And it's just kind of silly talk. Doesn't mean they're bad football players. And I believe they're upgrades, but it's just not necessarily enough. And of course, we still have the draft ahead. But let's...
Steve, is it fair to say this vaunted edge rusher that Buck fans are pining for and Dirk Koetter is craving is not on the current roster? Is that a fair assessment? He's not here yet.
Well, of course he's not here yet. Otherwise, we wouldn't be talking about all this stuff.
He's not here yet, and there aren't any difference makers on the edge that are now available in free agency.
Oh, they're arguably outside Julius Peppers, there were none on free agency. A lot of people think this Chubb or Marcus Davenport will be the answer to everyone's prayers, maybe in 2 or 3 years, not in 2018. You know, for every Alden Smith and for every Joey Bosa, there's like 25 or 30 guys that don't do much. Now, here's one for you. I had a guy on Twitter. I can't remember his name. I'm not trying to embarrass him, but it was Sunday. It was yesterday. And the guy Twitters, you know, Joe Bucks fan account, and he tried to make the argument that Myles Garrett was an impact player.
He got hurt.
Well, what was their record?
Yeah. Myles Garrett's going to be very good, but he got hurt.
He will be very good, but he was a rookie. But this guy was trying to argue he was an impact player. I'm like, what was their record again?
Not yet.
He was such an impact player they couldn't win one game?
Steve, I'll tell you this. You know, I understand Lee with, you know, with his analytics about how rookie defensive linemen rarely make an impact. I understand
fast.
That. But I'll sit here and tell you this right now, Isbitz, and dare you to disagree.
Uh-oh.
If the Bucs select Bradley Chubb at number 7, they expect an immediate impact. They're not thinking about 2020. He's got to have an immediate impact.
Well, of course, anybody you draft that high has to have an immediate impact and should be a potential Pro Bowler if you hit it right, which is the angst and the anger and the rage and the sadness.
He's going to be the first defensive lineman off the board. He's got to have an impact.
Yeah, look, that's the deal why people are so upset about Hargraves, because he fell off the map as an early pick. You just have to hit on these guys. Do they have to be at least decent football players? And we've had this discussion before. I don't need to rehash it. I just think as the Bucs are in the basement of NFL defensive lines, if a rookie guy comes in and looks dangerous and has 6 sacks, that's like 12 on another team.
He's right.
I got a little bit of confidence that Buckner can bring out the best in Chubb if they get Chubb, if they get him.
I'm confident in Buckner, but, you know, the old proverbial chicken crap and chicken salad and, you know, I hope the Bucs don't get enamored with, to use Steve's phrase, the pixie dust of Brenston Buckner. All of a sudden, he's going to have 3 sacks out of Golston, and he's going to get 5 sacks out of Spence. And, well, there's 8 sacks everybody's whining about.
Steve, the cynics are now carping that the Bucs haven't addressed running back. Now, have not addressed cornerback. Fair sniping, Lee? Or?
Running back, I think, I was hoping, like Steve, they would get.
There's only like three running backs on the whole roster. You know, Jacquizz Rodgers, Peyton Barber, and I think there's a fullback on there.
It seems like the trend is 2 running backs. You get a guy in the draft, you get a veteran, and I was hoping the Bucs would get that veteran as a running back. Apparently, they didn't see the eye to eye with me, but I would be stunned out of my brain if they don't draft a running back in the draft. Let's hope they don't wait till the 5th round. Let's hope they get one no later in the 2nd round. Kind of quit monkeying around. I wrote a story about a month ago on JoeBucksFan.com. The past decade of running backs has been horrid for the Bucs in drafts. Horrid. The best one's Doug Martin. He had 2 good years. Horrid.
And just like defensive linemen, Steve, you can't have too many corners, especially playing in this division. You need 3 or 4corners.
I agree with you, Ira. Running back has
right now, they got 1.
It's obvious that they plan to draft a running back. The mystery is, do they feel that Peyton Barber is a number 1 guy? Yes. And they could believe that, Ira. They could have watched the film.
I don't get that sense.
I know you don't get that sense. And I don't get the sense either, but nothing they've done at running back has made any sense for a long time. It just hasn't.
Like Lee says, they will draft a running back in the first 3
rounds. I've written this a couple of times. One of my favorite nuggets from, I know you love nuggets, Ira, from last season. Jacquizz Rodgers gets the game ball against the Giants.
Game three.
And the remaining, the game ball from coaches. Okay, I think he had like 18 carries, a little over 5 yards a carry, touchdown, whatever. Ran the ball well. And this is a team that couldn't run the freaking ball. The next 13 games, he had 26 carries.
The next week, Doug Martin's back on the team.
Correct. But the next 13 weeks, he had 2 carries a game. What are you doing?
Same thing happened to Barber after week 1.
Yeah.
Had a good game against the Bears.
Remember Cutter's famous quote, he's not Gale Sayers? So if a coach says that about a guy.
Is that how you're going to judge a running back now?
But I'm not going to be hypocritical. I said all last year and whatever, however long it was, if you get rid of Doug Martin, you've just addition by subtraction in a huge way. And I believe that proved itself last year. Now we're going to get to finally see it. I think the offensive line can run block pretty well. I think Peyton Barber showed that he's an effective back. And that was one reason why the offense looked good with Jameis. They had balance.
Ira, here's the $10,000 question.
You got a $99 answer.
Well, this is one of the best observations Steve's ever had. He looked at Dirk Cutter's history. Dirk Cutter's history with rookie running backs, not good. So is it, the Bucs had the mindset that, you know what, because of Dirk?
Well, he's only been the head coach.
Well, he's never had a rookie running back. He never relied on one.
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
His history is not good. Going back to Jacksonville, going back to Atlanta, when they drafted Devontae Freeman, I remember the Falcons were in Hard Knocks that time, and he was griping about pass pro, and I understand pass pro is important, but it goes back to my saying with Michael Clayton. He's a receiver. He's not a blocker. Same thing with Devontae Freeman. He's running back, not a blocker. It's great if he can block. But you didn't draft him to block. You
all
drafted
right.
him to run.
You asked a $10,000 question.
Here's your $99 answer.
I'm going to ask Isbitz An $11,000 question, Steve. Put your thinking cap on here. Considering what the Bucks have and haven't done in free agency in terms of a pass rush, if they draft Quentin Nelson, and say Chubb's not available, and they draft Quentin Nelson, who's going to be a hell of a player, in my opinion, and who I have already said I would draft Quentin Nelson. Mm-hmm. Steve, if that happened, Chubb's off the board. Barkley's gone. Quentin Nelson. Is Buck Nation going to be screaming that this has been a disastrous offseason because you haven't addressed your number one priority?
No, because the fans, when a high draft pick comes in, unless it's something absolutely out of the blue, they're like, out of their minds happy.
Hey, can they get behind a big guard? Can they get behind
him? Of course. People be salivating left and right.
What about the Notre Dame haters? They'll be out in force.
They don't care.
I have to wonder, Ira, if the Bucks draft Nelson in the first round and they pick a running back in the second or the third round, insert whoever else you want, defensive player.
Where the hell's the defensive focus?
I have to wonder if they draft Nelson and then a running back in the second or third round, I have to wonder whether that's an edict from Team Glazer that says, build the offense.
Score points.
We want an offensive points. We want to score points. We want to see if Dirk can get this done with every arsenal imaginable and Jameis, and that's what we want this year. Worry about the defense later. I have to wonder that because, to me, it's just rank stupid to not load up on the defense now.
Interesting.
Well, I mean, it goes back to my point. They don't value an edge rush.
Well, past drafts have focused on the offense. Buck fans are waiting for the defense to get their turn.
You know, I know the Bucks have interviewed Arden Key. This guy's got more red flags than a Mayday parade at Berkeley. But maybe they think they could somehow corral him. Heard some troubling things about Harold Landry, who I was big on. Maybe they think Buckner could correct him. If they don't get Chubb and Chubb's there, that just reinforces that they don't value
him. Steve, pass defense, everybody will tell you the same thing. You hear the same line. Pass defense is rush and coverage. Rush and coverage.
Sure.
Well, as we stand here, March 19th, March 20th, whenever this thing's going to air, they don't have either. They don't have either.
Woof.
So you're in a division with these animals under center. That's going to give the cynics plenty to harp about.
Well, it also makes you think if you take out the emotion, if you take out the fandom of it, you take out whatever, your own feelings, it sort of makes you look like, hey, the Bucks have to draft a cornerback high, right? You got Grimes, 35 years old. Great guy, but come on.
Graves, we don't know what's going
35
on.
35 years old.
Grimes, 1 year contract, right?
Grimes, 1 year deal, 35. His wife said he played last year 80% injured the whole year. His wife said it. And Hargrave sucks. I mean, how could you not draft a cornerback at number 7 overall? A lot of people without the emotion would say that.
That guy'd have to be as good as Marshall Lattimore. That guy'd have to be as good, if not better, at 7.
Is there a cornerback good enough to draft at 7? Now, everybody jumps on Minkah Fitzpatrick.
Some people got him taking Fitzpatrick.
He's a safety.
Derwin James, safety.
And they just drafted Justin Evans. So is James a fit, number one? Number two, I talked to NFL people at the combine. Fitzpatrick is sort of like a Mark Barron, sort of like a hybrid. He's more safety than corner. That's what I've been told.
I don't see the Bucs taking a safety at 7. I'd be stunned.
Maybe it's just me, but there's a hell of a lot of Alabama defenders. They max out in college, yes, but they don't do a whole lot in the pros.
Yes.
All right, Ira, two things. First, EdmoresCadillacTampa.com, EdmoresCadillacBrandon.com. All the great March offers are there. Pre-owned, certified pre-owned Cadillac is just an amazing opportunity with the warranty and everything. EdmoresCadillacTampa.com, EdmoresCadillacBrandon.com. Second, Sage.
Hold on, I want to make a point right here.
Uh-oh.
If Chubb is not available, hear me out. If Chubb's not available, I'm not reaching for a defensive end at 7.
Oh, no.
If I'm staying there.
Yeah.
So, to me, at that point, now the Bucks will get a good player at 7, but at that point, the onus is on Light and his staff. And I'm not saying they can't pull this off, because Light's been known to do it. They got to find a gem that isn't on top of everybody's draft board. It could be round 2. It could be round 3. You got to find a pass rusher out of the blue. It can be done. It has been done. And Light's pretty good at plucking these second and third round guys that nobody puts a lot of stock in. Quan Alexander wasn't on anybody's top 20 board that year. Light can do it, but it's a hell of a challenge, Lee.
Well, I know the Bucks organization was really high on Yannick when he came out, and he was, what, a third-round pick? But they had to get a kicker. So there goes Yannick.
Other teams find pass rushers. They find them. past the first round.
Well, of course they do. The league is littered with them. They have no choice now. They're backed against the wall. But then it comes back to Buckner.
And you don't know what the Bucks think if Key is going to fall like a rock, because again, he's someone told me he's Randy Gregory II. He's this guy's bad news. So he's probably going to drop like a rock. Do the Bucks think they could correct him? Like I said, I heard some issues about Harold Landry. Is he going to drop like a rock? Do the Bucks think they could turn him around? You know, you get value. I don't know that. I know Light loves Marcus Davenport, because at the combine, they asked him about Davenport, and man, his face lit up. They go, oh, this guy's raw. It's like he couldn't wait to get him and mold him, but he's not a number seven
pick. If Chubb's sitting there at six, Light might have to think about moving up to six. You mentioned that scenario.
But the Colts are six, right?
Yeah,
the Colts might just want Chubb as much as the Bucks. So they might.
So much of this comes back to what they believe and how they evaluate their own guys. And the Buckner thing, because I'm telling you, if Spence is healthy, they're going to love him.
You said that a year ago.
It's not me, Ira. They're going to love him. If Spence is healthy, they're going to love him. To me, if Spence looks healthy, right? So he's running around, his underwear, his muscles look good. Everything's
good. Animal.
He's an animal. I'll never forget that animal. If that's the case, right, I then tell Spence, sorry buddy, but you got to play every snap in preseason for me to trust you on opening day. Ooh. You got to get through preseason. You may look great and whatever.
Preseason games are just preseason.
Preseason games.
Okay. Games too.
Let him play all the first three games.
I wouldn't chance him in a game.
Well, then he's not worth being on the roster.
He's worth being on the roster, but you can't bank on him being in every game. Until proven otherwise, you can't bank on him being in every game.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is he's got to play more, in my opinion, in preseason to prove that he's really healthy. Because what happened last year? He played a full game, and then he comes out, first play, he's done.
I guess what I'm asking you, in essence, and I've been tap dancing around this, Lee. I've been tap dancing.
Jump in the pool.
Do they have to come away with Bradley Chubb?
No.
They do not.
Ira, he could be gone second pick in the draft.
You just said... They have an address pass rush.
Yes, and I just said that I know Light likes Marcus Davenport. Marcus Davenport, I know he likes him. He's not a number seven pick, but the Bucks could always trade down, and he might be there late first round, might be there early second round. I don't know. He likes Marcus Davenport. He hasn't told me that. What he has told me is what he said on the podium, how he just waved to Marcus Davenport. His eyes lit up,
Do you think they have a similar rating on the Buck board, Davenport?
I can't venture to guess. I don't think so, because Light's own words, he's raw as can be. But he's a project, but he's got skills that they can mold.
If I had to really speculate, I think Dave Gettleman, if I had to throw a wild card out there, I think he'd love to draft Chubb and work some sort of draft day deal to get rid of JPP or Vernon.
The old Giants, when they were good, stockpiled defensive linemen. Yeah, that's what they did.
If you think he's that good, it's hard to pass on edge rusher.
At the combine, and I got the audio, Mayock was adamant. You look at Gettleman's history, he's offensive line running back. So he said he would be shocked if Gettleman didn't pick Barkley or Nelson.
Didn't he draft Quan Short? Gettleman, was he there for
he might have been.
Quan
yeah,
Short?
Yeah.
I don't know. And, you know, the Giants had that history. I'm sure they remember that the Saints did him a favor and passed on George Young, was it, back in 80?
George Rogers.
Oh,
And the Giants settled for Lawrence Taylor.
You
know, Steve, if the Bucks would have signed Robert Quinn somehow, some way, we wouldn't be talking about I wouldn't be talking about this desperation to get Bradley Chubb.
Nobody would.
Or Vinny Curry.
So there's a lot of ramifications for this.
Oh, beyond that.
Well, that's what makes it so much fun. Now, Ira, let's get to some love. Some love. Uh-oh. The Bucks just beefed up their offensive line. They made Ryan Jensen a one-year center
that's
for the Ravens.
The other side of the great divide, Stephen.
There
the
you
other
go.
Side.
They invested in their offensive line, which they told everybody was not a problem. Hey, it's not the offensive line. So then they went out and bought the most expensive center on the market. Here he is. What do you think of this, Ira?
Well, they obviously had big holes on the interior of the offensive line. I don't think there's any question about that. I give him an A-minus on Ryan Jensen. I give him an A-minus, and I'd give him an A if he had a longer resume. It's not long.
Yeah.
It's like basically one season. The Ravens didn't want to lose this guy. They didn't want to, but he hit free agency, and they want to pay him.
There you go. If they wanted to keep him, they would have kept him.
Steve, the Bucks paid him. They did pay him. And that's how they won the battle with Indy. Might be some other factors that Lear is going to inform us about in terms of why Jensen chose the Bucks over Indy. But money is obviously a factor, and he got paid.
Yeah.
Jensen got paid by the Bucks.
Well, I got to quibble with you. You said obviously they had big holes in the interior of the offensive line. Where were the holes last year? Yeah, tell me.
They got no left guard.
Last year. You said last year.
And Sweezy turned out to be okay.
So you're telling me the guards suck and they bought a center to move Marpet over. Is that what you're saying?
That seems to be the consensus. Have you ever seen a quicker analysis of where Jensen's going to play and where Marpet's going to play? I haven't heard a peep from Jason Light. I haven't heard a peep from Dirk Cutter.
No one with the Bucks has shot down the speculation Jensen's a center. No one.
Last I heard, they're not in any rush to move Marpet from center. But apparently, that's what's going to happen.
Let me just throw this out here. We won't dwell on it because we're recording the podcast Monday afternoon. Ryan Jensen is going to be addressing the media, presumably with Jason Light, shortly. So we don't know yet, but it's going to come out that Jensen is the center. We're moving Marpet. It's no knock on Alley, whatever, and here we go.
There were some people who, I guess, connected to Jensen. It was out on social media Friday night when he was toying with the Bucks and he toyed with the Colts. He did not want to play guard. That was out on social media. That's not making that up. So if you believe that, and no one with the Bucks has texted anyone, to my knowledge, like, no, you guys are wrong, Jensen's your center. They're moving Marpet back to guard. Now, that, and I've been on this case before. The Bucks jumped up and down and beat their chests. How many years? Marpet's a center. Oh, he's back to guard again. So basically you're admitting you threw away a year with Marpet at center that apparently he wasn't good enough, otherwise you wouldn't get Jensen. Apparently Marpet wasn't good enough at center, otherwise you wouldn't go and get Jensen. And stop with this, we're cross-training people on offensive line. Pick a guy, pick his position, coach him up, don't monkey with him.
Steve, one point I've been mentioning, and because you read all my columns and edit them before they hit the wire. And Steve
just did a face palm.
Seen that I've alluded to this.
What's The Wire, Ira?
Several times.
Yeah, what is The Wire? Isn't that a miniseries on HBO?
It's a good show on HBO. You've seen me allude to this a couple of times. I may do it even more. Nobody else is talking about this, probably because they don't remember this. But, you know, I've been covering this league since 1842. And we're only going back.
Back when President Buchanan was around?
Steve, we're only going back 4 years, not 40. But I do remember, and I looked it up and I found it, when the Falcon season ended about 4 or 5 years ago, before Smith was fired and Cutter was on that staff, it was the year before Smith got fired. And Arthur Blank held a day after press conference. And his main theme, we're soft. We're not tough. And that was a warning shot to Smith as the head coach. Cutter was on the staff. He saw what happened. Well, they didn't draft well in that regard. They didn't draft well.
Yeah, Dimitri had some dry drafts, didn't he?
Had some dry. And, you know, the pariah Jerrys of the world didn't work out.
Yeah.
And as a result, a year later, Smith gets his walking papers, and Cutter comes over to the Bucks as offensive coordinator. And I don't think those words from Arthur Blank have been forgotten from Dirk Cutter. And I think Cutter's been in Light's ear saying, we're not tough enough in the trenches. That, to me, is the theme of 2018. Eesh. Toughen the trenches. Last year, weapons for Winston. Toughen the trenches. And Jensen fits the bill, Lee. He's a nasty guy.
Last year, didn't we hear that about Sweezy?
Yes, we did.
So
yes, we did.
Yeah, it wasn't Ayers, Mr. Nasty. Now they let him. Now he's on a Disney cruise.
You just told me Ayers was an animal that first year with the Bucks.
Oh, he was. He was.
Yeah, first year he did really well.
All right, so Jensen, though, Ira.
Jensen brings an element that's been a little bit missing.
It's not like Marpet is a, I'm not going to use the vulgar word, but
candy
a
ass.
Cat. It's not like he's a cat. I mean, I remember when he was a rookie, he went after Deshaun Goldson in Washington. You were up there. He got a late hit call, but he thought Goldson was screwing with Jameis, and he went after Goldson. And at Houston, he went after somebody, too, because he thought Jameis got a late hit. So it's not like Marpet is a cat out there.
But I think Marpet's athleticism jumps out at you, whereas I don't think Jensen is a great athlete. He's just a tough son of a gun.
Mm-hmm. I love the video that Steve used of when Flacco got blasted against Miami, a dirty hit, and Jensen just clobbered.
Buck fans are going to lap that up, Steve. They're going to lap that up.
If they see it. They were supposed to see it from Sweezy. It never happened. And for some reason, Ira, you know, the Bucks felt that when Mankins left, all the nasty went with him. You know, those big plays by Marpet are those nasty edge plays.
Yeah, Mankins was there. You're right.
Those were 2015, and some reason that disappeared. I never hear the Bucks say, man, Marpet's nasty. He's rubbing off on everybody. Or Donovan Smith's guy, what a What an animal.
Or Dotson.
Right. So they feel they need that guy.
And Smith has had a couple of nasty plays, but like Steve said, you don't hear people talk about
that. The Bucks don't talk about
it. Yeah, exactly. Or his teammates.
Right. So, yeah, it looks like they wanted that, and hopefully they get it. The fans will love it. They'll absolutely love it.
And I got a little memo for the people at One Buck. I'm going to throw my 3 cents in, not my 2 cents. Here's my memo, Steve. Don't you dare even think about moving Marpet to left guard and keeping Sweezy at right guard. If that's even being thought about, stop it right now. Stop screwing with Marpet.
What goes on with Sweezy now? Obviously,
if you don't get Quentin Nelson, you bump Sweezy to left guard and see if he can handle it.
That's interesting. If he sticks around, I don't know that. You know, like I told you guys, and there was only
investiture, my man. There was investiture. Only, tell him, Steve.
Outside of Cutter and myself, there were five other people in this curtained off room at the combine. We had a sidebar sit down, private sit down with Cutter, and I've told you guys this before, and it's playing out to be true.
Was there a masseuse in there?
I wish. But it would, you know, I've never been in such type of rooms, but the stereotype, yeah, you're right. It was a curtained off area, like you would see in some movie, you know. That's $150 an hour, sir. At any rate, Cutter's body language when talking about Pamfield was terrible. It was like someone stole the family dog. I used that line on Joe Buck's hand.
How come nobody's picked up Pamfield?
Well,
where is he?
Forget Pamfield.
2 year starter. Where is he?
What about Sweezy? You know, Light admitted he's still hurt. He can't practice.
Well, I'll say it before his, but Jason Light is in no mood to admit that he might have made a mistake on Sweezy. He's in no mood.
Well, it's, you know, the great mystery is what the hell happened to his back. Now, I'm going to defend Light here because, to me, it's beyond a point of irresponsibility that if you knew the guy had a bum back, you'd sign him anyway. That's beyond the pale. You know, a lot of people think that Light knew he had a bad back, but what the shroud of mystery that the team or nor Sweezy to this date will talk about it. What are they hiding? You know, as Mike Florio's great line, silence invites speculation. And if Light, and I just can't imagine Light would do this, or any general manager, you would sign an offensive lineman who's got a bum back and needs surgery. What are you hiding? Just come out and say what the hell happened. If he blew his back up pumping weights, it happens. So what? Say it. End the speculation.
Sweezy's one of many Bucks that are going to be on the spot in 2018.
He's on the spot now.
Because if he doesn't play well and the team doesn't play well, there's a new regime coming in with no ties to Sweezy. He's probably gone.
Well, first of all, perhaps he hurt his back in one of these $150 an hour massage rooms that Lee's talking about. Ira's like, $150.
He might have hurt his back lifting his paycheck
there. That's true. Jason Light's not going to like this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I agree with Lee, but what's more irresponsible than signing a guy that you knew had a bad back, which I don't think happened, is playing him the next year after he has back surgery. That's moronic. Just cut ties. Stop being so scared to get rid of guys. You put a guy in there who missed all practice, had back surgery, and he sucked. Big surprise.
Steve, I don't think you could accuse Light of being scared of admitting a mistake.
But he's got a vested interest to be cautious with Sweezy because he invested so heavily in him.
If they don't draft Nelson, I move Sweezy to left guard and I give him one more year.
Everybody acts like Nelson's the only guard in the draft.
Right.
There's a lot of decent guards that are going to be there in early second round, late first round. You know, Hernandez, this guy from UTEP, is thought of very highly. Is it Wynn, I believe his name, from Georgia, thought of very highly. Price from Ohio State.
He's a center. He's more of a center.
Well,
Price.
There goes the Cutter, like, you know, cross train. He's a guard as well. There's a lot of guys out there.
I think Nelson's
one guy I was talking to at the combine, I said, man, I don't know about drafting a guard unless you think this guy's going to be the next John Hanna. And this guy's a personnel dude. He looked me right in the face. He goes, he might be.
Well, there's John Hanna and everybody else.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I don't think Buck fans should be disappointed if they get Quentin Nelson.
No, I
really don't. Dave, can't you make the same argument about Barkley? If you don't draft Barkley, you can get a running back in the second or third round.
Yes.
You can make that argument.
Look, we're sitting here talking to a guard in the second or third. Running back in the second and third.
Corner. Look at all the needs.
And we need that's not even a pass rusher yet. It's just that there's not going to be able to fill it here. I'm happy for Marpet because guards make 20% more money. And why should Marpet take a pay cut? Because Jason Light doesn't know what he's doing.
Got to stop playing that ukulele and hit the weight room over there. That's what he's got to do.
So are you suggesting a ukulele player can't play offensive
line? Are there any corners still left in free agency that the Bucks can pick up? An experienced guy?
There are some guys out there, but they've passed on a lot of them. Rashawn Melvin.
Yeah, Melvin.
He went to the Raiders. You know, let me ask
cheap,
you this,
by the way, but Steve, right?
Yeah, cheap. Well, I think $5 million for a one-year deal. He can play. Ira, what is John Gruden doing? The guy is collecting old players like we all thought he would. He goes out and signs a fullback in a hurry because he needs a fullback. He's trying to take the game back to the late 90s. Is he misguided, Ira?
Yeah, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. It might work for a year. It might, because Carr might have a big year. It's not going to work in the long run, Lee.
Doug Martin?
Because Reggie McKenzie, with all due respect, he knows who's got the clout in the organization.
Yeah, how long is he going to be there?
You know,
he can probably see the handwriting on the wall. It's going to be
a disaster. We saw that the John Gruden, Bruce Allen thing ultimately didn't work. Too many bad drafts.
Tim Brown,
up
Charlie Garner,
Stussy. you know, they would say, well, we got robbed of some draft picks because of the compensation for Gruden. That, you can't say that for 6 years. You can't. You could say that in year one. You know, we didn't have a first or second round pick. It doesn't work. Steve, he needs a strong GM. He's a very good coach. Game day coach, motivational coach. He makes adjustments. He hasn't shown any inclination that he's good on personnel.
Well, that's why I thought he'd been perfect for the Cowboys or the Redskins. He needs a strong owner to, like, you know, you're doing it my ways, pal.
Yeah.
You're doing it my way. Now, here's the thing.
Let him coach.
Crabtree?
Let him coach.
You take Jordy Nelson over Michael Crabtree? Really? The guy's always hurt, Nelson. I mean, and I don't think Nelson has, right now, I don't think Carr can throw back shoulder passes to him like Aaron Rodgers could.
It looks like Gruden wants to make a big splash. Year one.
He's making
big
a splash, all right.
Well, you, look.
The turd.
And they got your boy Doug Martin.
Ira, you
and
know.
You got Doug.
You know from your history with Gruden, there is no such thing as year two for John Gruden. It's all about right now. You play right now, worry about next year. That's the way he operates. But one thing, I didn't write it up yet for Joe Bucks fan, and I'm sure the readers are going to love it. I found Doug Martin talking on the Raiders website about how John Gruden reached out to him. Like, it wasn't even like his agent shopping around. Gruden called him and was like, you know, I want Doug Martin. Come on in here. Let's talk.
Lee, isn't it interesting that Gruden would target Doug Martin early and quickly and passionately when we know that he watches all the Bucs games? He's very involved with the Bucs. He claims to know all about the Bucs, and he wanted Doug Martin. Interesting.
Well, you know what, Chucky, and I say this in a positive way, Chucky is little more than an educated fan. He sees a name, and he's blinded by the name. It's not what the guy did that past year or 2 years ago. It's the name. It's Doug Martin. Oh, first-round pick. Oh, Doug Martin, he managed for 1,400 yards 20 years ago. it's the name.
All those years that Gruden was out of coaching, he always talked about watching NFL film. I understood he worked at Monday Night Football. And yeah, you heard the rumors he was studying the spread offenses to learn more of it. But this guy was not sitting there poring over college film except for his quarterback camp and the work he did for ESPN. But he was always focused on the NFL guys. I think he just doesn't have a lot of deep passion and respect for college football, just the way he's always presented himself more as the pro guy.
Real quick trivia question, Hunter. Who threw to Jordy Nelson in college?
Oh, I know the answer to that one.
Who threw to Jordy Nelson in
Brenson
college?
Buckner. No. How do you like that?
Josh Freeman.
Wow. Nice.
How about that, Ira? How about
did,
that?
Did Nelson have some big years with Freeman?
Well, of course
Put
he did.
Put up some big numbers?
Sure. They didn't
win games.
It's
a Big 12. It's no defense league.
They didn't win games. All right, Ira. Get back a little bit to Ryan Jensen before we wrap up. How do you grade the move? You were calling for
it. I said A-.
A-?
I said A-. And A, if he had, you know, put in four good years at center behind him, he's got one. I don't have any reason to think that Jensen isn't good. He's certainly going to upgrade the interior of the Buck offensive line. They paid him a lot of money. Paid him a lot of money to make sure they got him. That's how bad they needed him. They thought he was worth the value. If it moves Marpet back to right guard, to me, that's a double win, Lee.
Lee, how do you grade the Jensen signing?
Incomplete, because I don't know what to think. And the reason why I say that is, I've said this many times on the podcast, written this many times, as recently as 3 weeks ago, maybe a month ago, right before the combine. I had someone with the Bucks tell me, hard sell on Marpet at center. I don't think you realize how complex it is to learn center. And this was the greatest move the team made, blah, blah, blah. Now, I understand they wanted Jensen so bad that they're willing to capitulate and move Marpet back to right guard. The Bucks haven't denied that, but it's out there. I don't know what to think.
Until they got Jensen, the Bucks were adamant that they weren't moving Morpeth out of center.
It's a con job. It's negotiating.
So that's why I say incomplete. I
got to think Morpeth's going to be happy about this move if he goes back.
Oh, he's going to be ecstatic.
Is he? Or he's going to be hacked off? He just wasted a year of my career.
No, he's going to be happy. He'll make more money. And now he's got a good veteran center next, or a good young veteran next to him. He knows Dotson. He can just settle in, be more instinctive, just, you know, plow ahead instead of, you know, center.
I'm going to say the same thing I said last year. I'm not going away from it. They got to draft a tackle. Draft a tackle.
You just want everybody, Ira.
Round
want
five,
everything.
Draft a tackle.
You want everything, Ira. All right, well, look, you can't have everything, but you can have a Cadillac at Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. We will look for you on Spectrum Sports 360 and around town. And, Ira, next podcast we'll be talking more about the details as we get within a month.
Know about Chubb's pro day.
Come on. Bench press numbers. What, we'll spend 10 seconds on that?
Come on.
I already know. I meant important things, like we'll be about a month from the draft party where we'll get into more details on that and your appearance and all kinds of fun stuff.
Here's how important Chubb's pro day was. Did you see them preempt Good Morning Football this morning for it? No, you did
I'm
not.
I'm sure you were watching Kay Adams
Of course
there,
I was.
Man.
Who wouldn't? It's either her or Robin Meade.
All right, guys. Get out of here, Ira.